may be seated. Now we're going to take this time to practice one of our deep spiritual practices in unity. We believe in meditation. I've experienced transformation when I devote myself to meditation. If I want a change to occur in my life, by allowing myself, my conscious mind, to be in meditation, what I'm doing is I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to be on one side of my subconscious mind and then my conscious mind to be on the Christ, to be on God. And by these allowing myself to be in the presence of God, I become transformed. My subconscious mind begins to change. It doesn't happen overnight, but over time I begin to change. My intentions, I begin to see them manifest in my life. That's why we meditate. So let's take this opportunity now to become centered. And we, once again, devote ourselves to the peace that is our true essence, the Holy Spirit. We are grateful, God, to be alive, to be here, and to be here now. We thank you so much for this gift of awareness, that we are as awake as we are. We're grateful for this journey of transformation where we become more and more like Jesus, the full expression of Christ consciousness. And so we relax ourselves in this moment. We enter into this silent place to experience the voice of God, which is silence. In the silence. We are grateful, God, to know that we are never separate from you. We are never separated from love, from peace, or from joy. That we are complete, lacking nothing. The totality of the universe is right here. Right now. Thank you so much, God. Amen. Now, right, that was wonderful. Thank you. The juices are flowing. Woo! All right. Welcome. Hear my Lord, send me. The experience of the presence of God is available and within at all times, but awaits choice. I'll say it again. The experience of the presence of God is available and within at all times, but awaits choice. We are never separate from God. Closer than our breath is the presence of God. In actuality, it's what we really are. It is our true essence, is the presence of God. This is just a Halloween costume that we have to give away at the end of the run. I want to give you some highlights of my spiritual walk so that you can kind of get a little bit of knowledge of who Brian is. My first spiritual experience happened when I was 3 years old, believe it or not. I was chasing my sister around the yard, and right over there at our neighbor's jalopy, I stopped on the side of the house and I went, "Whoa! How did I get in this little boy's body? I thought it was so cool." I stopped my sister, who was much older than me, she was 5, and I said, "How do we get in these bodies?" She goes, "I don't know, you'll have to ask Dad." And so a couple minutes later, I remember walking into from the carport into the kitchen. I put my hand on the trim, and all of a sudden the question popped up in my head. What if I didn't have a life? My imagination went to outer space. 3 years old. And I remember every memory, every thought, every laugh that I had ever had went to nothing. Not only that I ever had, but that everybody else had to nothing. Remember It's a Wonderful Life, where, you know, he's running around and nobody knows who he is, but he knows who they are. Well, this was different. This was actually terrifying. I was terrified. And I just want to be a little boy. I don't want to do this philosophical thinking. And so I just rejected all thought of spirituality or whatever that may have been. Now, I was not raised in a family that went to church. We would go Christmas, Easter with Grandma. And whenever I did go to church, it was because I spent Saturday night with Grandma, and we went to the Salvation Army. My understanding of Christianity was from the moment the car door opens in the church parking lot, you become transformed into this perfect saint. It taught me compartmentalization. And then when you get back in the car, then you resume the obnoxious conversations, you know. But while you're in church, you're just, you know, this little robot that's just like, "Oh, yes, I'm perfect. Everything's fine." So we love to laugh at ourselves. It is funny because we know that we do this. We experience this. We want to put on our best face. Anyhow, by the time I was all through middle school, I considered myself an atheist. And at 15 years old, well, I'll just say this. I was addicted to adrenaline. That was my drug of choice, whatever it took. Skiing off a cliff, I was a hockey player, I was a football player, dirt bikes, I would do crazy stuff to get the adrenaline, the juice going in your veins. That's what I lived for, the experience, the high. You know, where you you know, and then you do it again, ski off this cliff or something, you know. But when I was 15, I had taken a philosophy class, and in that philosophy class, we did the world's religions. And when we looked at all the world's religions, they introduced just a snippet of what each one was. Well, I thought Zoroastrianism was the coolest word I had ever heard in my life, so I thought that was cool. And Judaism, I had never heard of that before, and I thought, well, that sounds cool. What's that? But what it did, though, is it got me on this quest. What is the truth? What happens after we die? Is there life after death? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? I would ask these questions, and spirit is right there, you know, but I've rejected it. I'm an atheist. But I had questions. And so there's this turmoil. I set a boundary. Nope, I rejected God. But I thought Jesus was really cool. I always thought Jesus was completely cool, and I thought he really did live. But I just had a hard time with Jonah and the whale and Noah's Ark. To me, it was a bedtime story. So fast forward, I'm 19 years old now, and I've worked in Alaska, I've worked in the mountains at a ski resort, I've done all sorts of things. I lived by the creed, I will try everything at least once, and probably twice if it didn't kill me the first time. And I went for it. I went right to the edge of the cliff on everything I did. I'd go to the extreme, and so that I experienced whatever it had to offer. I experienced whatever this had to offer. I had to experience it. I'm a kinesthetic. That's the way I learn. It's the way I function. So at 19 years old, my sister had been bugging me. She was a born-again Christian. She was attending this big, charismatic church. And it was really cool, I guess. I had never been to anything like that. Remember, Salvation Army. You know, brass and the big drum, and that's the experience I had of church. Well, I agreed to go to church with her on Sunday morning, but Saturday night, I was at a party with some friends, and something happened. It was really something. My eyes opened up, and I saw something that I had never seen before in my life. I could see that these people were holding up a facade, and they were really lonely and scared, but they were putting on a persona. Oh, I got it together. I'm cool. And it was like the third eye that they talk about. You know, sometimes all of a sudden you could just see the essence of a person. I'm like, oh, this is weird. I told my friends about it. They thought, hey, what's Brian on tonight, you know? So, but I really began to question, why do I do what I do? Why do I live for the weekend? What's the point of my life? What's it all about? Well, the next morning in church, I show up, and man, this was a lively place. The music was cool. The people were authentic. I saw something. My eyes opened up again, and I saw something in a number of people, not everybody, but I saw contentment and joy. I had never known what contentment was, but I could experience it in them. I knew what they were experiencing, that they were done. They didn't need anything else, and there was joy as a result. They weren't striving for anything. And so I surmised that, oh, they must have found the truth. This must be the truth. The truth that I had been searching for those last 4 or 5 years. When the pastor started preaching, then he had the altar call, you know. But what was amazing was when he would speak truth, my essence knew it, that this is true. This is true. I had that radar going for years. What is truth? And there it was. Well, then he, you know, come on down to the altar, and I'm like, no, you know, no. And I did not want to give, I didn't want to surrender. So my ego was like having warfare with whatever, I don't know. But there was this wrestling match going on inside of me of control. And did not want to surrender. Well, I talked to my sister afterwards, and she goes, well, let's just go to my apartment. We can. And then once we're there, she goes, you know, we're dialoguing. She goes, well, we can pray. I said, sure, what's the use? What's the harm in praying, you know? So she led me through what is called the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer. Bill W. borrowed the sinner's prayer for the first 3 steps of 12-step, if you're familiar with that. One is basically, my life is screwed up. Yep. Two, there is a God. And three, I surrender myself to God. And that's what I did. I said, God, I give you my life. And then I asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And in that moment, I was back in outer space. Remember the 3-year-old experience? But this time it was different. This time there was this peace that was transformational. And the power of that peace was infinite. The amplitude was just infinitely powerful and yet gentle. Velvety soft, but yet beyond granite. I experienced the power of God and I was a different person like that. When I opened my eyes, everything was different. The whole world was different. The solution to everything was obvious. Just a little more love, a little more patience would fix that, would heal that. That's all it required. more love, more patience. In the next couple of years, I couldn't get enough church. I became a custodian at the church. I volunteered for the high school group. I was a leader for the high school group. And then eventually I took over the junior high program. I was a missionary. 30 years ago, I had just gotten back from the Philippines. I greeted you with a Tagalog. Magandang umaga is good morning. And so I was a Philippines, a missionary 30 years ago. And I got what I call the front row seat. I could see transformation like I experienced in other people. And I'm like, this is the best seat in the house. This is what I want to do. And so I started supplicating. I started begging, God, this is what I want to do. Now, in those days of my life, I did a lot of fasting. And so I would, when I fast, I would just do water only. No juice, no nothing, just water only. And I prayed a ton. I was in a constant state of prayer and contemplation. I'll have to share that sometime. But about the 10th day, it was so clear. I could hear, the voice of God is silence, but there's this knowingness that comes upon you when you know it's spirit and you know it's the call for your path. And the word was this: it'll happen, but not until you're in your mid-40s. Now, if I was 42, that would be cool. I was 22. That was a lifetime away, man. And you know that song by John Fogerty? Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. You know, center field is the name of the song. But that was me. As a youth leader, I was watching our young kids becoming congressmen, becoming youth pastors, becoming senior pastors. And I was like, oh, I want to play, you know? What about me? But what I didn't see was, now let's fast forward a bunch. In 2009, I moved to San Diego for the first time from the Puget Sound area. And I attended the Altadena Church, Reverend Blair Tabor's church. By the way, Reverend Blair Tabor gifted these flowers to honor my first Sunday here. So thank you, Reverend Blair. But I was in depression. I sat in the back corner of the Altadena Church. Didn't want anybody to see me. I was just... Now, prior to that, I used to think that depression was a bad mood. And I think that I wouldn't have been a very good minister had I not really understood what this is all about. Have you seen the movie Karate Kid?
Yes.
Okay, paint the fence, you know, wax on, wax off, something. Sand the board side to side. Well, of course, what he was teaching the student was self-defense moves, block moves. And he was complaining because, hey, I wanted to learn karate, man. You got me your slave over here. And then he started throwing punches at him, and he realized all of these defense moves were innate. So for those 22 years that I was living, raising a family, I was doing wax on, wax off. I was growing up. I wasn't ready when I was 22. I was messed up. I came from a dysfunctional home. It's not my folks' fault. I've immersed myself in some 12-step groups of Codependents Anonymous and ACA, which is Adult Children of Alcoholics, and Codependent Families. It's a catch-all for catching yourself in codependence. I was an enabler. I was married to an alcoholic for 21 years. And so for 20 years, I would tell her, you know, when she had had enough, because she would drink until she tipped over. And nothing against her, but I was the master enabler. I was not ready to be a minister. So this process continued. Okay, good. So all that time, I was like, well, here I am, Lord, send me. I remember there was a guy that had this huge church that I attended for a while. We went to Bible school together. And I used to refer to him as barely saved because the guy was a maniac. But what he was authentic and honest and truthful and sincere. And he owned his junk. And the place was enormous. He had a heart for God. You know, here I am, God, send me. And as we, you know, it's not just the minister that has a call. I believe all of us have a path that we're on. There's a purpose for where we're born, when we're born, who we're born with, who our siblings are, our parents. There's a purpose in every life. Every life is just as critical as the next. Every moment is just as perfect as it ever gets. And so as I ask myself, God, what is mine to do? Spirit says, just be. Just be. Just be present. Be aware. But back to where I was at in 09, in 010, I think it was 010 or 11, I was involved in a construction accident. I was doing construction, and obviously, I was taking out windows. I was working for this Russian contractor. I had a background in real estate, but things weren't happening in 10 around here in real estate very well when I was just new. And so I was taking out some windows, and I was holding this piece of broken glass, and it shattered plate glass as I was holding it. And I was holding the sides of it. When I did that, I squeezed it together, and then it severed all my tendons and the ulnar nerve and ulnar artery, and I was bleeding out. And I was just holding my arm, and I said, hey, I don't have time to wait for an ambulance. Let's go. It was over in Pacific Beach. And so there's this Russian guy, and I look at him, and all of a sudden, in two blocks, I start getting woozy. I knew this was not going to end well. I just knew that, this guy's going to have a dead guy next to him. And I said two things. God, inside, not to him. God, I'm not done yet. Because it was a hopeless situation. I was losing consciousness. And the other thing was, but God, it seemed tragic because I see so clearly the path before me. I saw spirituality in a way that I'd never seen it before. Everything was coming clear. And I'm losing consciousness, on the door, and all of a sudden he yells out, hey, there's an ambulance on the side of the road. And so he starts honking, getting across seven lanes of traffic. I forget what that road that parallels I-5 right there, but he just went away across all those lanes of traffic and got these guys. These two EMTs were in an ambulance. They had just stopped it. It was straight up noon. They pulled into the 7-Eleven to get some soda pop for lunch. And so they were trying to leave the parking lot, and he cuts them off. And they jump out, and I was just a limp noodle, and so they got fluids in me and pumped me up. Later that night, I ran into the EMT again at the hospital, and he said, dude, you were gone in 2 minutes. You were 10 minutes from the hospital. You would never have made it. And so God answered my prayer before I prayed it. God, I'm not done. God knew that 1,000 years ago. Time is not a constraint of spirit. So when I talked to Blair, he said, I told him the whole story, my calling, the whole deal, everything I told you. And he goes, oh, you're the reason. So he goes, somebody just handed this to me. He reached behind him, and he held up the Unity Institute catalog to go to seminary. See, we had talked about licensed Unity teacher and field licensing. And when he said seminary and Unity Institute, I knew that was my path. And so 3 years ago, I left here and went to Unity Institute in Unity Village, Missouri, and formally started my education. There was a small group of us that used to meet in North County, and they wanted me to be their pastor about 4 years ago or so. And we started doing it. We actually got a 501c3. We were going to do a church. And then finally I said, I'm not ready for this. And all that happened at the same time. The accident, the talk with Blair and my friends, and we're just like, Well, now I feel like I'm a little more ready, a little more wax on, a little more wax off. So, but again, back to what can we do with this? Well, we all have a path, and I would challenge each person here to just get real with spirit. And God, what is mine to do today? Perhaps it's just to smile at a cashier, to really say, thank you so much for your service here at this grocery store. Or, thank you. You're a waiter or waitress. Your service today was fantastic. Thank you so much. I want to read one thing. You'll get a lot of this guy. My favorite teacher is David Hawkins. And this is something that I think applies to everybody. Be kind to everything and everyone, including oneself all the time, with no exceptions. Be kind to everyone and everything, including yourself, without exception. Thank you very much. God bless you. All right. I'm going to have some more music for you. This is a time of the service where we say, what can I do for you? There's a gospel song that we're going to do someday. Bob Dylan wrote it in about 79 or 80. So this is a time where we give of ourselves to bless this community, our home, our spiritual home. Do we do the blessing now or after the offering? Right now? Okay, great. Here we go. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive.